A Daily Dose of Luther is Good for the Soul. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for October is a new devotional resource, Day by Day with Martin Luther. You can find out more at issuesetc.org or call Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040, 800-325-3040. Day by Day with Martin Luther costs $12.99 plus shipping and handling. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for October, Day by Day with Martin Luther.
Unsettledness in your spirit, where at some point you say, you know what, I appreciate God's general word, but what I want is a box to come with my name on it. I want a specific word straight from God for me.
That's Priscilla Shire. Now, she says what, sadly, many evangelicals think. They wouldn't come out and say, yeah, God's general word, the Bible, that's good for other people, but I want a specific word just for me. But that is so often what they're looking for, which probably accounts for part of her popularity. We're going to be examining some of This Week in Pop American Christianity. A Christian speaker, author, and actress, Priscilla Shire, on Hearing the Voice of God. Pastor Chris Roseborough will join us. Welcome back to Issues Etc. Live this Friday afternoon. It's the 9th of October. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. After we conclude our conversation on Priscilla Shire with Pastor Chris Roseborough, Fighting for the Faith, we're going to play Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. That's a game we play on Fridays with our listeners. We listen all throughout the week, and then in the course of our many conversations with our many excellent guests, we hear them say things that are remarkable for one reason or another. We take note of that, and then we boil it down into four soundbites. Those four soundbites we play for you on Friday afternoon, and then we ask you to give us a call, 1-877-623-6943, or send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org, or send us a tweet at IssuesETC, or simply go to our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/IssuesETC, and vote for one of the four soundbites to be Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. We'd like to know which one you're voting for, why, and if you're writing your vote to us rather than calling, we'd like to know where you listen as well. 1-877-623-MYIE, talkback@IssuesETC.org, our Twitter address at IssuesETC, and our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/IssuesETC. Pastor Chris Roseborough is a regular guest. He joins us every week for This Week in Pop American Christianity. He joins us today to talk about Christian speaker, author, and actress Priscilla Shire on Hearing the Voice of God. He's pastor of Consfinger Lutheran Church in Oslo, Minnesota, and host of a daily internet talk show called Fighting for the Faith. Chris, welcome back.
Thanks for having me back, Todd.
Introduce this woman to us. Where would most of our listeners probably be most familiar with her?
Well, Priscilla Shire is one of the daughters of the famous football player Tony Evans, and she most recently starred in the very popular Christian movie, The War Room. She played the wife of the character there, the one who learned from the old lady, you know, about how to war against the devil in the war room. So it was Priscilla Shire who was the lady that played that main role.
Now, what she's going to be talking about here, Hearing the Voice of God, how broad of a concept or how broadly accepted a concept is that in Pop American Christianity?
This is it's very popular teaching and is growing by leaps and bounds. It's kind of a soft, charismatic way of looking at the authority of God's Word. And what I mean by that is that many seeker-driven churches that are evangelical have been influenced by the charismatic and Pentecostal movements, and it's standard fare in their churches to be given sermons and speeches and things like that and lessons that reinforce this idea that if you are a Christian, then it is expected that you are going to absolutely receive direct revelation from God to guide and direct your life. And it could come in the form of, you know, whispers of the Holy Spirit or promptings within your soul or some kind of direct revelation that's intended to guide you.
What are we going to hear first from Priscilla Shire?
Well, the first what we're going to hear is from a recent sermon that she delivered in New Zealand, you know, to a big box church there. And the first is what, you know, kind of what I would consider a fascinating thing, where she begins with a life experience and an analogy that sets the stage for her teaching for hearing the Word of God, where she makes a very sharp distinction between general revelation, which we receive in the Bible and is taught to us from pastors, and specific revelation that's intended with your name on it, that's unmistakable, that's not for the general population, but is specifically for you.
I have an older sister. Crystal's my older sister, and she was the first grandchild on either side of the family. For my grandparents, she was the first grandbaby, and so you know how it is, grandparents, with the first grandbaby. And so I remember when I was growing up that my grandmother on my father's side would gather up this big old box of stuff that she would get together to send for Crystal to Crystal for Christmas. And so this big old box of stuff would come. It had Crystal's name on it. It was tied with a big old bow. And I remember being a little girl and standing off to the side while Crystal would unwrap this box of stuff. And she'd open it up and there'd be all these beautiful little things that had been specially handpicked for her. And I know what my grandmother's intention was. Her intention was that she was going to send all these clothes in the bigger size and that all the subsequent children could wear them as well. And so I didn't mind hand-me-downs, because I knew at some point she was going to grow out of all that stuff and it would all be mine. But I don't know what happened, but I must have just been a little bit older on one occasion, because I very clearly remember that big old box coming with Crystal's name on it, all that stuff inside that had been specifically chosen in her size and with her specifically in mind. And I must have just been a little bit more mature on that year, because I stood back and I remember I didn't feel good about it anymore. I remember not being particularly happy, because even though I knew that I was going to get the hand-me-downs and the second-hand clothes, all of a sudden, for some reason, I had matured enough that what I wanted was a box to come specifically for me. There ought to come a time in our relationship with Jesus Christ where hand-me-down revelation about God, spoon-fed to us from somebody else, is no longer enough. Where we celebrate the fact that God has given us leaders and teachers and speakers that help us to rightly discern the Word of God. But there ought to be an unsettledness in your spirit, where at some point you say, you know what, I appreciate God's general Word, but what I want is a box to come with my name on it. I want a specific Word straight from God for me.
Now, Chris, one of the things that she emphasized several times there is, if you're mature, this is going to be your attitude. What's that about?
Right, and this is part of kind of the reinforcement of how you catechize somebody in evangelical ways of thinking, and that is that it's the immature Christian who relies on the Bible and the Word of God and is bound by doctrine and theology, but it's the really mature Christian, the one who's really grown in their intimacy and their relationship with God, who then is kind of taken to the next level. And that mature Christian is one who has learned how to become unsettled with just getting the Bible and has sought and striven for a more intimate relationship with God, and then is rewarded for seeking that more intimate relationship with God by experiencing getting direct revelation from God for their lives, you know, that is specific to them and is not for anybody else.
So she says, I appreciate the, she calls, refers to Scripture as the general Word of God. Can one still hold Scripture in the highest place while striving for a special, unique, private Word from God?
You know, it, on the surface, I mean, it sounds like she's really, you know, giving a nod. Hey, I'm not denying that the Bible's the Word of God, but what she's doing is really casting aspersions on it. She's creating an unsettledness within the psyche of the Christian, and basically saying, "Well, I want to be mature. I want to grow up. I want to have a more intimate relationship with God." And apparently, the Bible is getting in the way of that. I mean, it's Gerber baby food when I, you know, what I really want is steak. And that's the way evangelicals talk about the Word of God. And so on the one hand, they affirm that it's inspired, that it's the Word of God, that it's inerrant. They don't deny any of that. They're not liberal. But at the same time, what they're doing is basically saying it's not enough. It's for the immature. It's not for somebody who's really grown in their relationship with God. And instead, what we need to do is move them towards the meat. We need to move them towards greater intimacy. And that greater intimacy will unbuckle them and their need for the crutch of the Word of God, the written Word of God, and get them to the point where they're getting direct revelation and growing in that direct experiential revelation. So what they're doing is in talking this way, really completely obliterating the concept of the sufficiency of Scripture. It's no longer sola scriptura, it's Scripture and. It's Scripture and the direct revelations I'm receiving from God specific to me.
What's next, Chris?
Well, the next is another kind of one of these plausible sounding arguments. And I want to note something here, that what Priscilla Shire said in our first soundbite is nowhere taught in Scripture, that if you're really mature, you're going to seek to hear direct revelation from God. She's going to still build on this idea and give kind of a common evangelical metaphor for what it's like to apparently tune in and begin to hear the broadcast of the Word of God, that God is constantly communicating, but you haven't learned how to tune into it yet.
When I was growing up, we couldn't watch a lot of television when I was growing up. We could watch only 1 hour of television a week, excluding the weekends. During the week, the school week, we could only watch 1 hour of television. In fact, we didn't even have access to a lot of television in our home. We had a couple of televisions, but we didn't have cable. We didn't have satellite. We didn't have all the stations even available to us in our house. So I remember when I moved out and I was on my own and I was getting ready to get married. So I moved into my very first real apartment. And the very first thing that I did was call the cable man. Get over here as fast as you can. And hook up whatever wires, whatever you need to do to get me some channels up in here. And I'll never forget that oh so glorious day when the cable man showed up and he went into my bedroom. He moved my armoire out from against the wall. He went behind the television and hooked up all the wires, the cords, whatever he attached to give me access to all the stations that were available. Then he put everything back in place, came back from around the place where he was in the corner of my room, gave me a remote control and said, press the guide button. I pressed the menu, the guide button, and I watched all these channel options that were now available to me. I was stunned. All of those channels had always been available to me. They were there. The frequency for those stations were all there. I just didn't have the right hookup to pick up on them. Same thing is true in your relationship with the Lord. God is always speaking, my friend. The fact that you can't hear him doesn't mean he's not speaking. It means you don't have the right hookup. You're not tapped into divine frequency so that your spirit can pick up on hearing the voice of God.
Well, Chris, this adds another layer to it, doesn't it? Because it essentially says, if you're not hearing this, number one, you're immature. Number two, you are missing out on what God really wants to say. The Bible might tell you what he wants to say generally, but you're missing out on what he really wants you to see and hear.
Right, exactly. And let me again make kind of the point as we begin to pick this apart, that the Bible nowhere says this. Nowhere in the Scripture are we given this metaphor or doctrine or anything that even remotely approaches this. This is what we would call what Paul in the book of Colossians chapter 2 verse 4 describes as a plausible sounding argument. I mean, this is something we can all relate to. The metaphor makes perfect sense to us. The problem is there's no Scripture that says that God's out there broadcasting on his frequency and we need to somehow get the right hookup, the right box, or do the right practice, or learn the right steps of maturity so that we can then learn how to tune our spirits so that we can hear the broadcast that God is always, out there broadcasting on. Although it sounds plausible, this is nowhere taught in Scripture. And unfortunately, I mean this kind of in a backhanded way, is that Priscilla Shire is a gifted communicator. I mean, she is engaging. You listen to her and she's eloquent. She's able to paint word pictures and you're really able to track with her very easily. And as a result of that, people hear her and they go, wow, I get that. And as a result of it, they think they're learning something about Christianity and what God wants. The problem is that this is not based on any biblical text that she's rightly handling. And so what's happening is that the people hearing her, They understand the metaphor perfectly, but when they leave church, they're now going to go home and try to apply what it is they've learned from Priscilla. Oh, God's broadcasting, so now I've got to learn how to tune my soul so I can hear what he's saying. Not open up my Bible, but, you know, figure out what God is saying out in the ether. This is a very, very dangerous and seductive message. And in the reality of the situation is that you're opening up the Christian to hear other voices rather than the voice of God. Because the only place we can go with any objective certainty to know that we are hearing what God has spoken is the written word of God. When we open ourselves up to supposedly tune in to what's going on in the ether where God is supposedly communicating, we may in fact may not be tuning into God's channel. We may in fact be tuning into the demonic channel.
Pastor Chris Roseborough is our guest. It's This Week in Pop American Christianity. Today we're talking about Christian speaker, author, and actress Priscilla Shire on hearing the voice of God. When we come back, we'll hear a little bit more from her and talk a little bit more about this idea of what the apostle calls a plausible-sounding argument.
LutheranReformation.org is the brand new one-stop shop for all things Reformation. It's your source for news, events, history, videos, activities, educational resources, and much, much more. New resources will be added regularly, each one designed to help you celebrate and remember the 500th anniversary of the Reformation. Because Reformation 2017 is still all about Jesus. Visit LutheranReformation.org today. LutheranReformation.org.
Steadfast Lutherans, people who believe the law condemns everyone and should be preached to the fullest. People who believe the gospel is for everyone and should be preached to its sweetest. Traditional Lutheran doctrine and practice deliver every Sunday this law and gospel, that Christ was crucified for us sinners. To all who received him, who believed in his name, the Gospel of John says, he gave the right to become children of God. To see how Steadfast Lutherans preserves this good news for everyone, visit steadfastlutherans.org.
An oasis in the desert of pop American Christianity. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Grace Lutheran, Henderson, Nevada. Faith Lutheran, Orange City, Iowa. Bethany Lutheran, Fairview Heights, Illinois. Bethlehem Lutheran, North Zulch, Texas. Risen Christ Lutheran, Arvada, Colorado. Trinity Lutheran and Grace Lutheran, Wichita, Kansas. Emmanuel Lutheran, Perryville, Missouri. Risen Savior Lutheran, Basar, Kansas. St. John Lutheran, Champaign, Illinois. Trinity Lutheran, Auburn, Nebraska. Holy Trinity Lutheran, Columbia, South Carolina, Grace Lutheran, Elgin, Texas, Gethsemane Lutheran, Marion, Ohio, and St. John Lutheran, Springfield, Pennsylvania. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to issuesetc.org, click support, and print a one-page flyer. When your congregation becomes a congregational sponsor, we'll publicize your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal.
You know, in between her sleeping for 23 of the 24 hours a day, that 1 hour that we had with her was beyond special to me.
They are crossless. There is no preaching of the scandal that is the cross. It's mentioned, it's a footnote, but we all know what happens with footnotes. You never read them, you never focus on them.
What that means in practice is that if a man who says he feels like a woman today wants to walk into your 12-year-old daughter's restroom at the local pool, you can't complain about it.
It encourages us to continue to speak law and the gospel to situations regardless of the results we see.
That's just a sample of the four sound bites we're going to be playing for you in just about 20 minutes here on Issues Etc. When we play Issues Etc. soundbite of the week, we'll play those sound bites in their entirety. Then you give us a call, send us an email, send us a tweet, or go to our Facebook fan page, and you vote for Issues Etc. soundbite of the week. We'll also be giving away the LPR bundle package. That's an I Have Issues t-shirt, an Issues Etc. travel mug, pen, bumper sticker, and notepad to the listener with the best vote when we play Issues Etc. soundbite of the Week. Chris Roseborough is our guest. It's This Week in Pop American Christianity. We're talking about Christian speaker, author, actress Priscilla Shire on Hearing the Voice of God. A question before we hear again from her. What does this say to the Christian who goes to church on Sunday and says, well, you know, I hear the scriptures read, and I hear the preacher preach the text of the scripture, preach from scriptures, but I'm not hearing these side broadcasts, these side bands that God is apparently broadcasting on?
Yeah, this can be devastating for somebody who doesn't receive any direct revelations or make any pretenses as if they do. And the reason I say that it's devastating is that they're going to come to church and they're going to hear a message that basically is going to emphasize that if you really belong to Christ, then you should be hearing this other broadcast that God and Jesus are, you know, broadcasting on whatever spirit frequency. You know, you have to figure out how to tune it in. And it challenges these Christians and basically makes them believe and feel that maybe they're not even saved. Because the way this doctrine is taught, and you're going to hear Priscilla do this from the Gospel of John chapter 10, the text that they use is where Jesus says, "My sheep hear my voice." And so the implication is that if you're not hearing the voice of God on the Spirit channel, then you must not even be saved. You probably aren't one of Jesus' sheep, and it has an uncanny ability, the way this is taught, to make people feel like they're not even Christians, because this then becomes like the singular mark that you're looking for to tell whether or not you're really even one of Christ's sheep. And so the way this is taught, it is absolutely devastating to the person who is honest and basically says, well, you know, I'm not hearing these things. And so it creates a real, you know, kind of, I'll steal a word from Luther, Affektung, you know, this conflict within the person basically going, well, I guess I must not even be saved or not even be a Christian.
Chris, what are we going to hear next?
Our next soundbite, we're going to hear Priscilla Shire actually try to lay out the biblical basis for this teaching that she's been giving on receiving direct revelation from God. And we're going to actually take a look at it from the exegesis of the text to see if the biblical text that she's quoting from John 10 actually teaches what she's about to tell us.
So in other words, she's going to go to the Bible to attempt to say that the Bible is just the hand-me-down, what did she say, spoon-fed teachings of other men?
Well, that's all now going to get read into the verses that she's going to quote.
And you have the privilege, I have the privilege, to hear the voice of God. There is no better passage in Scripture that reminds us about this privilege that we have to individually, specifically hear the voice of God than in John chapter 10. In John chapter 10, I'm going to read to you the first five verses of John chapter 10, and then I'm going to jump down to verse 27, and I'm going to camp out in verse 27 because I just want to share with you four little simple principles about hearing the voice of God, because I think if we can inscribe these on our heart, y'all, we're going to leave out of here knowing beyond a shadow of a doubt, never doubting again that we can hear God's leading in our lives. John chapter 10, verse 1 through 5 says this: "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter by the door into the fold of the sheep, but climbs up some other way, he is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out." Verse 4. "When he puts forth all of his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. Verse 5. "A stranger, they simply will not follow, but they will flee from him because they do not know the voice of a stranger." And then verse 27. Listen to this: "My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me." Listen to that one again, because it's one line, but it's packed with a whole bunch of good stuff we're going to dig into for a little while tonight. He says, "My sheep, what they do is hear my voice. I know them. I know my sheep, and they follow me."
So unpack this for us. First of all, is that what Jesus means? Does he mean that if you're really his sheep, you're going to hear these extra scriptural voices from God?
No, that's not what this text is teaching at all. In fact, you can tell this is not what it says by just going back and looking at the context. Note how she built this argument. She starts outside of Scripture with two extra-biblical arguments that sound plausible, that then set the framework and context for which we approach the Scripture. In other words, you're going to end up reading her examples, her plausible arguments, into this text, and then she quotes John chapter 10, verses 1 through 5, literally lops off the rest of the chapter and then picks up verse 27 out of context and then is basically going to, you know, as she says, camp out on that one verse. The problem is that you can't rightly understand what God's Word says by approaching Scripture this way. So what she's engaging in, the technique is called eisegesis. Eis means, you know, the Greek word for into. And so what she's doing, she's reading into this text what she wants it to say, rather than reading it correctly, which would require to do exegesis, where she would have to go and read it from the context, rightly understand what's going on in the original languages, and then read out what's in the text. And all you have to do is read this passage of Scripture in its entirety in context. And the context, oddly enough, begins in John chapter 9, verse 1, with the healing of the man who was blind from birth, and continues on into John chapter 10. But here's the important thing. The immediate context of John 9:1 ends at John 10, verse 21. And then in verse 22, it picks up a kind of a similar theme, but it's a slightly different context that Jesus is making this statement. But she takes all of that, eliminates it, and then just rips out this verse and says, "My sheep hear my voice." So let me put that verse just in its immediate context by reading out, starting at verse 22 of John chapter 10. It says this: "At that time, the feast of dedication took place at Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was walking in the temple in the colonnade of Solomon. And so the Jews gathered around him and said to him, 'How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Christ or the Messiah, tell us plainly.' Jesus answered them, 'I told you, and you did not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness about me, but you do not believe because you are not among my sheep. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand.'" Now notice here that in this context, Jesus is having a face-to-face conversation with those who do not believe in him. They are literally, physically, with their own ears, hearing the voice of Jesus. They have seen the miracles that Jesus has performed, and they persist in unbelief. So Jesus here is not saying, well, the problem with you Jews is that you haven't learned how to tune in to the God frequency with your spirit so that you can hear my voice. That's not what he's saying at all. And all you have to do is put it back into context, and you can begin to see the game that Priscilla Shire is playing, where she's playing fast and loose with the Scripture, ripping it out of context, and by doing so, being able to read things into these texts that they don't say at all. This text is not saying that God's broadcasting on a frequency that you have to tune in with your spirit. That's not what he's saying. Nor is he saying that unless you hear these things, you really aren't a Christian. That's not what he's saying at all either. In fact, what Priscilla Shire is doing is really badly twisting God's word and teaching false doctrine.
And you use that term, the apostolic term, plausible-sounding argument, and the frame of that, or the framework that you laid out there. First, she starts with two kind of reasonable-sounding arguments. She establishes what she wants to say. Then she searches around and cherry-picks a verse that might kind of sound like what she was trying to say and says, voila, that's what the Bible teaches.
That's exactly what she's done. And unfortunately, this is all too common in, you know, American evangelical pulpits. There's no discipline when it comes to rightly understanding God's word. They begin with what they believe is plausible sounding, and then they hunt for passages. It's called proof texting, and then they read their doctrines into them rather than read out what God's word reveals. Very, very dangerous way to approach Scripture, because you open yourself up to all kinds of deception, because using this technique, you can make the Bible say anything you want. I mean, the classic example of this, just take two verses out of context and stick them together. It says, Judas went and hung himself. And then another verse says, now go thou and do likewise. You know, the Bible doesn't teach you to harm yourself, but if you take two verses out of context, you can make the Bible say that.
Chris, before we let you go, what's on the docket tonight for Fighting for the Faith?
Fighting for the Faith today, we're going to be listening to a portion of a lecture that I recently gave on the sufficiency of God's Word, and then we're going to be listening to some really good confessional Lutheran sermons for the rest of the program.
You can listen to Chris Roseborough and Fighting for the Faith right after the live broadcast of Issues, Etc. in about a half hour at piratechristianradio.com. It's all one word. PirateChristianRadio.com. Chris Roseborough is pastor of Consfinger Lutheran Church in Oslo, Minnesota, and hosts the internet talk show called Fighting for the Faith. Chris, thank you very much for being our guest.
Thank you, Todd.
When we come back from this break, we're going to spend some time with you, our listeners. We're going to play this Friday game we like to play with you. It's very simple. We're going to play four sound bites from this week's Issues, Etc. audio. All you have to do is listen, and then you give us a call, send us an email, a tweet, or go to our Facebook fan page, and your vote will decide which will be Issues, Etc. soundbite of the week. We'll play the sound bites right after this. Do you have a hard time finding Christian greeting cards and gifts that aren't either sappy or theologically suspect? Ad Crucem offers the perfect combination of art and the truth of the scriptures with beautiful and reverent greeting cards and gifts. Deliver the true comfort of the gospel, Christ crucified for sinners, to family and friends with Ad Crucem. ADCRUCEM.com. Confessing the faith through art and word. AdCrucem.com.
Lutheran Talk.
In Lutheranism, I come as a guilty sinner in need of hearing the forgiving words of Christ every single time I gather. Every single time.
Lutheran Music. The new Lutheran Public Radio app. Download for iPhone, Android, Windows Phone, and Kindle at issuesetc.org.
Have you been too busy to get your associate's, bachelor's, or master's degree? Concordia University, Wisconsin offers 50 online educational options. Find out more at issuesetc.org. Click the Concordia University online logo and enter the program code ISSUES to waive your application fee. Concordia University, Wisconsin is here to strengthen and support the church. Lifelong Lutheran learning. issuesetc.org and click Concordia University, Wisconsin online.
The people of Zion Lutheran Church, East Moline, Illinois, invite you to discover the blessings that await you here. At Zion, we proclaim a gospel of free grace for all. No one ever falls too low to find forgiveness and peace with God in Christ Jesus. To learn more, visit us at zionem.com or join us on Sunday at 9 a.m. Zion is located at 17618 Hubbard Road in rural East Moline, Illinois.
Christological, creedal, confessional. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Here's Eric listening in Chicago. Hi, Eric. What's up?
Well, first of all, I'd like to say I really encourage people to give to Issues, Etc. as it's the flagship of confessional liturgical Lutheranism in the world, I'd say, on the media.
Issues, Etc. is listener-supported, and you can support the flagship of confessional liturgical Lutheranism in the media by making a secure online donation at our homepage, issuesetc.org. Thanks for listening, and thanks for your support.
Martin Luther taught that the chief function of music and worship was the proclamation of the Word of God. With Heirs of the Reformation, Treasures of the Singing Church, you will hear over two centuries of Lutheran musical theology, beautifully performed and faithfully sung. For a limited time, save 10% on this 4-CD set when you use promotional code URA. Simply visit cph.org today. Lutheran Thought, Lutheran Substance, Lutheran Music, brought to you by Concordia Publishing House.